pursue and discover with a smile on his face. It's like, hey, Kelly, come on. And he's so inviting. He's so, man, do I have a surprise for you. Come on, let's go. And he's got this smile on his face as he's inviting me into discovery. There's other times when God's inviting me into discovery with a tear in his eye because he's feeling my pain. And he's watching me flounder, and he's watching me fail, and he's watching me frustrated and angry and discouraged and sometimes depressed. You know that God feels your pain? He tells you and I, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Because that's what he does. When you're rejoicing, he's happy and rejoicing. But when you're sorrowful and weeping, he's got a tear in his eye too. That's just what he does. That's just who he is. In Hosea chapter 10, the Amplified Bible, have you guys ever read the book of Hosea? It's like a crazy book. It's a crazy book. God tells his prophet to go marry a prostitute. That doesn't happen every day. It just doesn't happen every day. And the prostitute, see, you guys don't read the Bible enough. There's some pretty cool stories in there. There really is. And the prostitute ends up being unfaithful and going back out into her prostitution. And he loves her and woos her back. And she goes back out into her prostitution. And he loves her and he woos her back home. This time she goes out into her prostitution and she's being sold as a slave, as a sex slave. That still happens in our day, doesn't it? There's some awareness out there of human trafficking, but that's what was going on with her. And God told Hosea, I want you to buy her back, love her, and bring her back home. That's our God. That's what he does. That's who he is. And this was all an example to Israel, God's people, saying, you come to me, and then you go cheat on me and run away into the world again. And you come back to me, and then you're unfaithful to me, and you cheat on me, and you run away into the world again. And it was really a picture, I'm going to send my son Jesus, and he's going to purchase you back with his blood. He's going to die in your place. What a beautiful picture. But here in Hosea chapter 10, they're suffering. Life is not good. Israel, they're just about to really go into deep, harsh captivity again. They're just about to go back there. They don't have to. There definitely is another option. But that's the seed they've been sowing. And that's where they're headed, and that's what's going on. So Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 in the Amplified Bible. Sow for yourselves. This is like a farming thing. Sow, not a seamstress thing. Sow for yourselves according to righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God. Reap according to mercy and loving kindness. Man, if you sow the good stuff, you're going to get the good stuff, huh? And God's just reminding them. He's got a tear in his eye. They're suffering. And he's saying, you're kind of reaping what you've been sowing. Why don't we change that? Why don't we change that? And he uses this farming term, break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for and of him, and to require his favor. Break up that fallow ground, that uncultivated ground. And as I am thinking about that, I'm thinking God's inviting you and I into some brand new areas of fruitfulness, into some brand new areas of productivity, into some new areas of peace. How many of you would like some more peace? Man, I would like a dump truck load of that right now. more peace. He's inviting you into some new arenas, deeper, more productive, better than you've ever known. And he calls this uncultivated soil in your life. God's saying, I want to plant some good things. I want to do some amazing things. But there's some uncultivated soil in your heart and in your life. If you would just cultivate that, seek me. How do you cultivate the soil? You seek God. You pray. You repent. You dig in deep into the Word. You dig in deep into relationships, godly relationships. You dig in deep and you start cultivating that hard ground. See, on the hard ground, things don't grow. You can throw amazing seed on top of the hard ground. It's not going to grow. But if you'll cultivate that thing and then put the seed in, ooh, baby, the harvest is going to come. The harvest is going to come. So break up your uncultivated ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Anybody feel like it's time to seek the Lord? I know the Lord on this level. I've experienced him on this level. Whatever age you are, whatever maturity level you are as a Christian, you're at a certain level, but God is saying, it's now time to seek me for more. More favor, more harvest, more of what you really want, more of what I want for you. It's time to seek me, require his favor until he comes and teaches you righteousness and rains his righteous gift of salvation upon you. So God's wanting to teach you some new things, and if you'll seek him. Verse 13 says, you've plowed and you've plotted wickedness. You've reaped the willful injustice of oppressors. You've eaten the fruit of lies because you've trusted in your own way. Man, serving God seems to be a series for me of, Kelly, you've trusted my ways here, here, and here, but you're still doing life your own way there and there. Why don't you seek me for truth? Why don't you seek me for a better way to do life in those arenas? Why don't you break up that fallow ground and then plant some great seed in there? And I will rain righteousness upon you, and I will fill your life full of favor and an abundant harvest. I will do that for you. And that's just an invitation. And in my life, God gives me that invitation repetitively. I'm feeling it again right now. Hey, Kelly, would you seek me again in some new areas? Can we plant some better seed in your life in some of these areas? And I'm going to say yes. I hope you do too. Here comes Arby.
All right. Are you going to say yes?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I'm jumping into second part, discoveries of discipleship. We're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus in the book of Luke. We're going to look at 6 points of discipleship from this story in the process of being a disciple, transforming into a disciple. So Luke chapter 19. You're going to read verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So we have Zacchaeus, who is a known sinner. The community knows him as a sinner. They call him a sinner outright. And immediately becomes a disciple, a follower of Christ, upon meeting Christ, upon inviting him into his home. So we know that no matter where we're at in our life, we can come to Christ and be accepted in. Okay, that's the first step of discipleship, is I'm going to be one who's following Jesus. I'm transforming from where I was, and I'm now following Jesus. So the first verses we want to look at are verses 1 and 2. Jesus is coming into town. He's passing by. There's a man named Zacchaeus. He's a chief tax collector, which he's like the only honest tax collector there's ever been. Probably not. He probably got wealthy by dishonest gain. So God can use us wherever we're at. That's the first point. God can use you wherever you're at in life. You can become a disciple, a follower of Christ, from wherever you're at today, if you're not already. Verses 3 and 4. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he was a short little guy and he couldn't see over the crowd, so he didn't just sit back and sit on the corner and say, I can't see him. I'm just going to go home. I guess I'm just not tall enough. I'm not good enough. He said, no, I'm going to do whatever it takes to see Jesus. And I don't care what the crowd says about me, what the people in town say about me. I'm going to get up and I'm going to see Jesus, whatever it takes. So he finds this fig tree. He climbs up in it. And I just picture it, not a very big tree, but he's up in it and it's bending over and he's hanging over the street looking for Jesus. But what are you and I willing to do to see Jesus in our lives? What are you and I willing to give up or to sacrifice or to put our pride and humility out on the line and say, I'm going to see Jesus no matter what. I'm going to climb a tree in the middle of town square if I need to see Jesus. I'm going to love my wife, even if she won't love me back. Even if she's as Hosea's wife, I'm going to love her so I can see Jesus. Because the Bible tells me to love my wife. No matter what she's doing to me, I'm supposed to love her. No matter what people are doing to us, we're supposed to love them. Will you do that to see Jesus? What is God asking you to do in your life to see Jesus? So do anything to see Jesus. That's your second point. Verses 5 and 6, Jesus is passing by. He reaches the spot. He looks up in the tree and goes, Zacchaeus, get out of there. I'm coming to your house for lunch. Zacchaeus doesn't say, oh no, Lord, I'm unworthy. I'm not good enough for you. He jumps down immediately and says, okay, let's go. Obedience is required of us from the Lord. Your third point is obedience. As a disciple, a follower of Christ, one who's being changed by Christ, you have got to obey the Word of God. The Word of God has got to rule and reign over your choices, your decision-making in your life. It's got to reign over your finances, your marriage, your parenting, your work ethics, what you're willing to do for work, what you're not willing to do for work. The Word of God has got to be your rule and reign of obedience in your life. Point number 4. Verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter. And they're calling Zacchaeus a sinner. They're saying, Jesus is going to hang out with sinners. So what are people saying about you? Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God and what God says about you, it's false. It's a lie. So only believe what's true when filtered through the Word of God and what God says about you and who you are. Because clear back in Genesis, in the beginning of His Word, He talks about us and we're made and created in His image, in His likeness, and we're formed by Him. And you go on up into Jeremiah and it talks about we were made for a purpose. God has a destiny for you and I. We're not just junk. We're not just floating around. He's given us a hope and a future. That's what God's Word says about us. So we have to believe that about ourselves. We have to know what God says about us in our lives. So don't believe the lies that are coming in from others. Believe what God says about you first. Your first thought about you should be what God says about you, not what others say about you. So don't worry about what others say. People are going to make fun. People are going to say, really? Well, I just saw you, and you did. And I had an episode this week at work. I lost my temper a little bit and said some words you shouldn't say. And the guy I was working with goes, I thought you were a pastor. Did you just curse? I said, a little bit. He goes, I thought pastors didn't say stuff like that. I said, none of us are supposed to. But some of us do. And yes, I'm working out my own salvation every day. I hope all of you are. Yeah. I'm a work in progress. Being a pastor doesn't make you perfect. It means God has a calling on your life. And if you're obedient to that, you said yes. But you're still working out all your junk. So don't worry about what other people say about you. Because as soon as you do that, it confines you to a box. And takes you away from the expanse of what God has to offer you as a disciple, as a follower of Him. And as soon as you do that, you close the door to discovery. And you can't discover any further of what God has for you until you open that door again. So go forth, discover. Don't worry about what others are saying, which brings us to the very next one. It's repent. Zacchaeus goes in verse 8. He stands up and says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of all my possessions to the poor. I know I've screwed up, I've done wrong, but I'm not letting the world and my values and my wealth be my king anymore. I'm giving half of it away to the poor, and I'm putting you in place of my money, my wealth, my stature, my livelihood. Whatever I have, God, I'm removing it and putting you in that place. He repents, and he goes on to say, and if I've wronged anyone, I'll repay to them four times the measure which I've stolen or taken. We've got to have a heart of repentance as a disciple and follower of Christ. If you can't repent before God, you can't repent before man, and vice versa. We have got to be repentant and say, God, I'm sorry, I screwed up. I had to say that at work this week. I was driving the dump truck, say, God, I'm a screw up again, but I know you love me, and you say I'm amazing, so I'm going to believe that. Amen. Verses 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So your sixth point is God has our best interest in mind. Some people are afraid to step out and follow Christ, but I don't know what he'll ask me to do. I don't know what he'll require of me. But God, since the beginning of time, has had our very best interest in mind. And when we put the kingdom of God first in our life, all the rest of life is added unto us. All the rest of life is given back to us. But we first have to establish God is first in my life. Now we're getting on to the life application part of this. My good friend Rod is going to come up and speak to you in just a moment. Rod's been up in Alaska working, trucking, and doing all sorts of equipment stuff work. And he's found a couple of really good churches that he's plugged into up there, and thankfully for us, he's back down here full time now. Unfortunately for him, he had to leave all his church family up there, and they've really helped him out through some times of life. And he's going to come up and share part of his testimony with us. Rod, will you come up? He's going to speak to you for just a minute here. Rod's awesome. I love this guy. Good luck, buddy.
Okay. Since February, I've been going to Anchorage City Church. And I've been in their men's ministry up there, and I've been seeking the Lord, asking the Lord, many different levels for help in my life and forgiveness. And through my men's ministry, I've had quite a relationship with some very powerful men in my life who have guided me and directed me to always seek on God. And I've been here over the summer. I've been tied in with some men who their past has not been good, healthy lifestyle, period. And they're in my men's ministry, and they've changed to where they're ministering. And I've been following them. They've been guiding me. And here this summer, about a month and a half ago, I was just at my end, and I go, God, just give me peace. That's all I want, is peace. And two hours later, I was driving down the road, and this overwhelming feeling came in me. And I've had nothing but joy since. There ain't nothing that anybody can say or do that'll affect my day or change who I am now. I focus on the Lord. I walk that path. I do not take my eyes off of Him. And things are falling into place in my life like I've never imagined. And with that, I went to a Christian bookstore, and I walked in there, and I went to buy a study Bible, and I walked out with 48 Bibles. And I had no idea what I was going to do. God talks to me on a daily basis. I had no idea what I was going to do with those Bibles. And I had a big box of Bibles sitting in the back of my pickup. And so one day, or a couple days, I was hauling from this job site, and I came, there's this homeless lady, there's in Anchorage, there's homeless after homeless people up there. A lot of them are natives. And I saw this young gal sitting on the sidewalk, and it was getting into the low 30s at night, and had a sleeping bag wrapped around her, and she was weighing heavy on my heart. So I had a day off in the middle of the week, and I went and I searched for her, and I thought I saw her in this park. And so I went to McDonald's, and I bought her, and there was this man next to her. I bought her and this other fellow some food from McDonald's, and I took the Bibles, and I stuck the Bibles in the bags of food, and I went back, and I went walking up to him, and I showed him the bags, and he was like, yeah, come over here. And I went over there, and it wasn't the young lady I was looking for. But the story, how it goes, I kneeled down and I handed them their food, and I was just going to minister to them. And the man, whose name is Earl, probably in his 40s, he opened the bag up, saw the Bible, didn't care about the food. He was hungry, but he didn't care about the food. And he goes, I will carry this Bible the rest of my life. And he opened it up, and he goes, you know what my favorite verse is? 1 Corinthians 13, I believe 4, love is patient, love is kind. And I started reading that to him, and he started ministering to me. And here he was, homeless. They slept in a cardboard box the night before, and he was homeless. They were shivering cold, and I gave him a Bible, and it changed my life from right there on how one little thing like that, and the Bible's not little, but how something can change a person's life. And so I never saw the man or the lady again. His name's Earl. He, and another thing, he, because I asked him how he got to where he was at, and his wife died in 07, and he just sort of fell off the grid. His trade was a carpenter, and he just fell off the grid, and he needed that little boost. And I helped him out, and I felt great about it. So then I still had 46 Bibles to go through. And I was like, Lord, what am I going to do with these? And it was weighing heavy on my heart for days. And I woke up one morning, and the one church I go to, Heart of the City, I wake up, and it goes, God spoke to me, and he said, take him to Heart of the City. And so my friend Matt, who goes there, I text him, and I said, I have to bring the Bibles to Heart of the City. And he goes, okay. And I take him to Heart of the City, and I hand them to another friend, and I said, I don't know where these go, but they need to go here. And he goes, okay. And Pastor Chris comes out after he found out I brought the Bibles. He comes up to me, and he goes, that's a blessing. He goes, we were down to our last two Bibles. And I gave them to him. And moral of all this is, God is in every one of you. Just close your eyes and listen to his voice. He talks to me every day.
Amen.
You listen to him, and he will not lead you down a wrong path. Yeah. There you go.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot. All right. Thank you, Mr. Rod. So you heard Rod say in the beginning of that, he said, since then, everything's just been falling in place for me like it never has before. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. That's just how God works. It's amazing. I love watching God work in our lives day by day. And being a disciple of Christ isn't a big scary thing. It's a day-by-day process. It's something we work out every day of our lives until we meet Jesus. And hopefully we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and not depart from me, I never knew you. So be a good follower of Christ. Be listening to what he's saying to you. Everyday life application, apply the word of God to your life every day. Let it guide you, let it lead you, let it guide your choices, direct you. God gave us an instruction manual to live our lives. And if you'll do that, he will set things in order for you that you never imagined possible. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Kelly up to close it up.
similar. Whoa, a lot of you have similar discovery journeys and discovery stories. And the cool thing is, there's hundreds more in front of us. There's hundreds more discovery stories in our future. Keep seeking. Keep looking. Amen? Amen. Hey, in your Connect cards, there's a couple things there. We'd love you to get those out, and everybody fill out your Connect card. You can tell us that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That would be cool if you've done that today. Let us know. We always like to know that. If you want to be baptized, you can write that in, and we will definitely do that also. If you want to help with Trunk or Treat, check that box, and Kari will call you or come to the meeting right after service here this morning. And a couple items you can check is I have areas.